What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 115 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Well, Sin City, we'll see you in the fall. I hope everyone had a great weekend. I know there were some of the Lap Traffic faithful out there that attended the race in Las Vegas. Hope all of you guys had a great time. It was a busy weekend over here. I threw the wife a surprise 35th birthday party on Saturday, which was awesome. Had a great turnout. I worked out with my wife's friend from Petoskey, Michigan, which is about 4 hours away from Metro Detroit, to come in town. Lindsay thought she was just in town because she hasn't been down in a while. Threw the party 3 weeks early. Lindsay and her friend went out Saturday afternoon so I could go get everything set up at the bar. Worked out perfect. However, random side note, if you didn't know, you will now. The more you know, right here. There is a worldwide shortage of helium, which I found out on Saturday. So, funny story, I ordered balloons and table decorations and all that kind of stuff online, had them sent to my buddy's house since my wife works at home. I didn't want her to get the package of that stuff because obviously something's coming from Party City that might have given it away. So he brings them over Saturday afternoon so we can go to Party City and get them filled up. And I called Party City and I was like, hey, if I bring these in, can I get them filled? And they're like, oh yeah, no problem. All right, sweet. So we walk in, and that was when I placed the order. I called them. Yeah, sure, no problem. So I walk in, I'd like to get these filled. Lady looked at me like I asked for, I don't like an eight ball or something like that. That's the look she gave me. Like I was supposed to know that there's a helium shortage. She goes, we haven't had helium in 2 weeks. I was like, you're Party City. This is like what you do, right? I'm like, is there anywhere I can get these things filled? She goes, well, there's a dollar store, a couple stores down. They have a helium tank, but be prepared. They're going to charge you. And that they did. $50 to fill 15 balloons. But hey, that was the only hiccup on Saturday, so I'm not going to complain too much, but definitely thought that was a funny story. And to spread the word that if you did not already know, there is a helium shortage. So be prepared. All right. Unfortunately, that said, Saturday, with the party and all that. Sunday, I woke up with a fever and chills, not a hangover. I know what a hangover is. Hangover, I don't have a fever and chills. So I was kind of out of it Sunday. I'll be honest, I wasn't on Twitter at all Sunday, which as you guys know is definitely a rarity for me on a big race day. But shaking that off, watched the race yesterday from bed. Didn't even make it to work yesterday. But like I said, it's shaking off. Definitely a 24-hour kind of flu bug there. But I am glad to be back. Glad to be on. Got a big show lined up for you guys today. Angela Rook will be on in just a little bit to talk about her truck runs at Daytona and Las Vegas. Can't wait to talk to her about that. I'll talk trucks, Xfinity Cup from Sin City, Las Vegas. Got your social media shout-outs. Aaron will be on to talk a little Michigan basketball, of course. And he's got your weather for ISM this weekend. Got your lucky dog lap down picks. Can't wait to get to those. And as always, a little fantasy to close it out. So without further ado, let's get this thing rolling. All right, let's talk some trucks from this weekend in Las Vegas. It was, again, another back-to-back dominating performance and back-to-back dominating wins for Kyle Busch in the truck series, adding to his record that he set last week, now with the winningest driver in the truck series with 53 wins, just running a flawless race, leading 110 of 134 laps, winning both stages, bringing home the checkered flag. Not much to say really on this one as far as I'm concerned. It was a quick, clean race. Only three cautions, two for the stages, one natural caution early on in stage one. And I think it's what we expected, getting to a smooth mile and a half track with the trucks. You know, I don't think anyone was expecting anything too crazy. It definitely was not what we got at Atlanta or Daytona. And, you know, I think everyone knows Las Vegas is more of the cookie cutter, if I were to use that in parentheses, tracks that we're going to go to. So I didn't have too high of expectations. I think it was probably still one of the better races of the weekend. That said, quick and clean. A couple things I do want to point out about the truck race was, as far as I'm concerned, the rookies really put themselves on the map in Las Vegas. Harrison Burton picking up his first top five and second top 10 in just three races. Rookie Sheldon Creed picks up his first top 10 of the season. Rookie Natalie Decker, who struggled the first two races, able to bring it home 13th. So, you know, granted the field wasn't stacked with Cup guys, just Kyle Busch out there, but you know, Brett Moffitt, now a veteran in the Truck Series, championship win, right? Matt Crafton, veteran. You got Johnny Sauter out there, and then you've got some other strong competitors like Friesen, Gilliland, Enfinger, you know, strong guys out there. So for rookies in the Truck Series to be able to go and put up top fives, top tens at, again, quotations, cookie cutter track, I think that's pretty good and something to keep an eye on throughout the rest of the season. So I'm looking forward to that. And like I said, pretty typical day for everyone else with those we expected to be up top the leaderboard. Moffitt, Crafton, Friesen, Gilliland, Sauter, all with top tens, as we would expect at a track like Las Vegas, right? Tough break for Daytona winner Austin Hill, who had an early exit due to some issues. Ben Rhodes, who was able to get up lead a lap, I think he did, and finished 25th, but obviously expect those two to bounce back again early in the season. Let's see. Let's take a peek at the standings. I forgot to do that last week with Daniel McFadden on the line, as we were in some in-depth conversation about the actual races. Forgot to highlight the standings last week. So that said, Grant Enfinger is in first place over rookie Harrison Burton, Austin Hill in third, Stuart Friesen fourth, Brett Moffitt in fifth, Johnny Sauter in sixth, Matt Crafton seventh, and Ben Rhodes wraps out the top eight. We got the trucks. Oh, it's so sad. They're off for a few weeks. Saturday, March 23rd, which is my wife's actual birthday, the trucks will be racing in Martinsville, the Paperclip. Such a great race. Definitely looking forward to that. Can't wait for that one. All right. Enough of my rambling about the trucks. What do you say we talk to somebody that's been in the truck race these last couple weeks in Daytona and in Las Vegas, Miss Angela Rook. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, she made history, only the second female to score a top 10 in the Truck Series. She is the driver of the number 8 JJ Resources Chevrolet, making her Lap Traffic debut. Angela Rook, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I am awesome. Thank you so much for taking some time out to come on the show to talk a little racing. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, I thank you for that. So for everyone that maybe not too familiar with your racing background, why don't you fill everyone in a little bit, how you got into racing, how you got started, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I started racing go-karts when I was almost 9 years old. My twin sister and I did. Obviously, racing has been a big part of our family history. My uncle won the Daytona 500, as everyone knows, in 1990. My dad was a big racer. My grandfather raced dragsters and all that. So it's been in the family. So
only a few generations, you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's how they're all told, right? All these up-and-comers.
Right.
So it's something that, you know, I've always wanted to do. My twin sister was right beside me doing it most of the way as well. And we moved back to the East Coast and did some ARCA tests and ran a few ARCA races and got into some Xfinity. And now here I am. I'm running about 12 races this year in the trucks.
Excellent. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. You mentioned your sister. You and your sister made history back in 2010, I believe it was, at Martinsville?
We did in Martinsville, the first twins in NASCAR, yes.
That's awesome. What's your sister been up to?
She's just busy. She owns three high-end salons right now, and she's busy doing that. As we all know, it takes a lot of funding to run up front, in
Yes.
NASCAR. So it's a tough get for anybody, I think, that's out there,
Yes.
trying to do what we're trying to do. So with that being said, I'm kind of mainly focused on the racing, where my sister is doing other things, and she's excited for me and right there beside me watching and cheering me on.
Awesome. Well, will she make it out to the track at all this year to cheer you on?
Yes, I hope she does. She's so busy,
I
but
can
I
only.
know she's in front of the TV watching me, so.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's very cool. All right. So let's see. Let's talk about Daytona. But before we talk about
Yes.
the actual race, tell me what Daytona weekend was like for you. What was the overall experience like?
It was pretty hectic going into it, I must say. We actually put together this Nemechek ride and then the number eight truck like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks prior to Daytona. So I was pretty much at the shop with all the guys, just training, getting my seat fitted, getting a, you know, my seat, getting a mold made. I ran one of John Hunter's seats, so we had to get that mold insert done for, in his truck, in his seat. So that was kind of a long process. And, I must say I've learned quite a bit, being side by side with Joe every day and every night, just learning everything from him I possibly can and taking it all in. And he was really the only one that would support me and gave me the real opportunity to live this dream out.
Well, that's
So,
awesome.
it's pretty exciting. He's
But
such a smart man. I look up to him very much.
oh, it I've had John Hunter on the show a couple times, and it just seems like they are a real tight-knit organization over there, which is really cool.
And they're all about family is what I love most about them. They're all
Exactly.
just, everybody at their shop has been around for a long time. And, I think that's what true racing is about, is just having your family in the sport and, everybody just having just positive vibes. I love that about them.
Sure.
So,
No,
yeah, so
that's awesome.
it's a great team, great, incredible team. I
Well,
can't say enough about them.
it's crazy you say too, like how quickly the deal was put together and how quickly things can get put together once the deal's in place. Like to turn to a 2 week turnaround to be like, I don't know if I'm racing at Daytona to holy cow, I'm racing at Daytona. That's I can't imagine the adrenaline rush for probably 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks straight.
Yeah,
That's got to be awesome.
it's like one of those things you just don't know if it's gonna happen. Is it gonna happen? It did happen, so just all the emotions going into it,
That's awesome.
right?
All right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, oh, totally. All right. So let's talk about the race. Walk us through it a little bit, and then what was going through your mind during those late red flags and the overtime, then the second overtime, knowing you're still running. Like, that's awesome.
First of all, I think it's still a dream. We didn't qualify as good as I would have hoped. I knew we had a fast truck. I made a few mistakes in qualifying. The car was really tight. Knowing where the car should have been, that part was disappointing. But I knew we had a fast truck going into the race itself. I just remember, I had a great spotter, and I just remember them just they're so calming on the radio. It's like, Angela, everything is perfect for you. Like, it's all you. And going into this, Joe and I had sat down and we're like, Angela, we're starting over. Going back from where you came from, and this is all new, like it's just a fresh start for you. I'm like, yeah, you're right. He's like, let's just do it the right way. So that kind of motivated me. And it's crazy. I mean, before I knew it, I was up to fifth place, and
Right?
I drove hard. I will say, like, I drove my butt off.
Yeah, no,
That's no lie.
absolutely.
I deserved to be where I was. And then to lead a couple laps as the first woman in NASCAR to lead, laps in Daytona, that's incredible. That's a dream come true.
Right?
Yeah, so it's just all like there's just so much out there. It's like you see everybody wrecking and everybody making all these mistakes out there, and you're like, oh my gosh, it could be any one of us. You just got to be
Absolutely.
smart. And I remember a couple people coming up to me. Bodine came up to me. He's like, Angela, you just need to be smart and just take your time. And so that's all he kept telling me. He sat in my pits for like an hour because I had some issues with my seat and everything. And Bodine was like, Angela, just relax out there. Just don't make any mistakes and just be smart. Run where the car will run, and then before you know it, you'll be where you deserve to be. And I'm like, that makes sense to me, right?
That's awesome.
So to have all, everybody's like help in the pits, after practice, I don't know, I felt like I belonged, right? And so
That's
before you know it, like I said, I was up to first place. I'm getting sidetracked. I was up to first. I was, leading laps, and the red flags just kept coming, and the cautions were out, and it's stressful, it is really stressful.
I don't know. I could only imagine what it would be like.
Well, especially, you know, it's like, especially like, I kind of look at myself, obviously I'm a rookie driver, and you know, the guys will tell me to save fuel, and I haven't really been properly trained on how to do those things.
Sure.
So it's like, everything was so new to me. I'm like, before you knew it, I was in, you know, I was in first place, and like, save fuel. I'm like, how do I do that? I was so, I wanted it so bad. You know what I mean? And
yep.
It just, everything was such a learning curve, and it was all thrown at me in that moment, that one race.
That's...
And I thought we did, as a team, we did incredibly well.
That's awesome.
Unfortunately, we blew a cylinder there at the end, and that kind of dropped us back. And I really thought we had a shot to win it, to be
yeah.
honest with you.
Oh, hey, I did too. And I'll tell you,
if
there
we
were
hurt that motor.
There were, so I have a segment on the show called Lucky Dog and Lap Down, where listeners and followers on Twitter send tweets after each race weekend on who they thought did awesome, that's their lucky dog, and who or something they didn't like, they'll put them a lap down. And you got a number of votes Daytona weekend for the lucky dog pick on the Lap Traffic podcast. So
that's amazing.
Everybody
I will take it. Thank
loved
you.
It.
That's incredible. I loved it too. I love being there.
It was fun. I can still hear your passion and excitement in your voice talking about it a few weeks later, which is really cool.
Absolutely. Thank
all right.
you.
So this past weekend, Las Vegas, not as eventful as Daytona for obvious reasons, but 16th place finish is a pretty solid day.
Yeah, you know, we'll take 16th. I definitely thought we had a way faster car than where we ended up. You know, we had some radio issues, which, you know, I don't know if you tuned in, but I had no radios and I kind of got in a little trouble for
did
it.
Did not realize that.
I did not pit. Because I did not want to go down laps
sure.
in the green. So yeah. I drove like almost 40 laps with no radios by myself.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. So like I have the like the race view, you know, so I can
okay.
listen to like the cup scanner from the couch basically. But
it's
a little difficult to get truck scanner and all that kind of stuff if you're not at the track. So, yeah, no, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so without those, you know, a few issues, we couldn't make any adjustments in the car. We fought the car being really tight, you know, the first, you know, 80 laps. So we made no adjustments when we came in, which was kind of a bummer. But those last, I'd say, 25 laps, we really picked up. But unfortunately, we were so far back from everybody. We had no cautions to bring us back together.
Sure.
So that part was a bummer. But 16th, first time in Vegas, I heard it was a really tough track. You know, we qualified 22nd, which is, you know, slowly everything's moving to the positive for us.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So I'll definitely take that, and I'm really pleased with it, with my performance. I'm not going to lie.
Cool. All right. So the last few years, you've run a handful of races with BJ in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah.
And Daytona and Vegas were really your first two truck starts since 2010. Was there a big – I know you mentioned earlier, you know, getting the seat molded and all that kind of stuff. But once you were actually in the truck – what was it like getting back into one with almost 9 years since your last truck start?
Well, you know, so I only ran the Xfinity with BJ. So the trucks was with a different team. You know, just with the funding we had and the experience and the level of the truck series, what they had to offer, we just kind of collectively together came up and decided that was probably a better route to go.
Sure.
Just experience wise. And, you know, we're trying to get a fresh start. It's no knock against anything that I've been in the past. I love BJ and his team. It's been amazing. They've given me everything they possibly can, but I kind of wanted to take a step, you know, kind of regroup. We had some great sponsorships and want
sure.
a fresh start in the truck series.
Yeah.
I needed to get some laps and try and understand things a little bit better for myself and just with what I wanted, right? If that
yeah.
makes sense.
Oh, totally.
So
you mentioned 12 races in the trucks for 2019?
Yes, correct. Yeah, so our next run will be Texas.
Texas, awesome. Will you be at Michigan in August by chance?
Yes, we'll be in Michigan.
Awesome.
It's one of my favorite tracks.
Awesome.
Yes,
well,
sure.
We're going to have to maybe make this work again in MIS and do this in person.
Yes, I would absolutely love that.
Excellent, excellent. Angela, tell everyone where they can follow you on social media.
So you can follow me on Angela_Rook. Or you can also follow The Rook Life. You know, I'm coming out with a new reality show. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, Brandon.
No. No. Do tell.
You haven't heard about it?
No.
Yeah. So it's basically so it's basically my show. It's called The Rook Life. And it's my journey basically selling all my real estates and giving it one last shot in NASCAR. Meanwhile, traveling nonstop with my husband and his crazy business, and we're actually adopting a baby. So kind of the journey of all these crazy things happening all at once.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things happening.
Very cool. Very cool.
There's never a dull moment with the Rooks. I'll just tell you that. So again, follow the Rook Life or Angela Rook.
That's so cool. I can't wait to check that out. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Angela Driver, the number 8 with the JJ Resources Chevrolet, for coming on the show tonight. This was fun, and hey, we'll set something up for Michigan.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Bye.
You too.
Well, Lap Traffic Nation, how cool was that? Getting to talk to Angela there, getting a little history with the Cote family, obviously a well-known family in the NASCAR world. That was a lot of fun, and definitely hope to be able to meet up with her at MIS. All right, let's keep the show rolling. All right, let's move over to the Xfinity Series. Stage 1, Cole Custer. Stage 2, Tyler Riddick. And race winner, Kyle Busch, for the second win of the weekend. Well, it was not total dominance by Kyle Busch in this one, but when it was all said and done, it was Kyle Busch bowing with the checkered flag, and that's pretty much all that matters. I would not have been surprised had Kyle swept the weekend, but I will say I had the race on at the bar while I was setting up for the party, so I was spot watching for the most part. I think there was a caution with about 11 or 12 laps to go. Kyle pitted with two other cars. I think Bell came with him, and it ended up paying off for him, which I was kind of surprised considering no one else came down with them. As I mentioned, the truck race was good for the rookies, and so was the Xfinity race. Rookie Noah Gregson finishing third, Chase Briscoe finishing eighth, Justin Haley finishing 10th. I think the one big question that always gets asked is, did so-and-so move up too fast? And granted, like the field, just like the truck race, it wasn't stacked with Cup guys. Neither was the Xfinity. I believe it was just Kyle Busch and Austin Dillon. Was that for these guys to be performing early in the season as rookies has to feel great, knowing that you had a great finish with someone like Kyle Busch on the track, knowing again that you did it at one of the style of racetracks that you're going to visit the most. That's got to be a pretty good boost for the driver, the team, everybody. If you're a rookie performing very well early on in the race season. Let's see. Let's hit the standings here. Christopher Bell leads in first over Cole Custer, Tyler Riddick, Brandon Jones, Michael Annette, John Hunter Nemechek in sixth, Justin Allgaier in seventh, Ryan Sieg in eighth, Ross Chastain in ninth, Noah Gregson 10th, Austin Cindric 11th, and Justin Haley wraps out the top 12 in the Xfinity standings. Next race, Saturday, 4 p.m. in Phoenix, no longer Phoenix, now known as ISM. That's going to take a minute for that to set in as the normal vernacular there. I always want to say Phoenix. I forget the ISM thing. It's like, I don't know. Man, I swear I've mentioned this before, but there's this concert venue here that was known as Pint Knob. It was a ski resort. There's a golf course and an outdoor amphitheater, and it was always known as Pint Knob, but now that everything's got to have sponsors, it's DTE Energy Music Theater, and it's been years that it's been that, and it still just doesn't register that that's the first. You always revert to Pine Knob, and for me, I always want to revert to Phoenix. But it's ISM. That was a real long exposition there, but I digress. All right, over to the Cup Series. Kevin Harvick picks up stage 1, Joey Logano stage 2, and Joey Logano brings home the checkered flag. And as I've mentioned it, maybe it's the phrase of the show, apparently, we've had our first cookie cutter mile and a half under our belt with the new package. I don't think too many people would put Atlanta as a cookie cutter, even though it's a mile and a half. The way the tire falls off and the way that track races just does not race like your typical mile and a half. That said, I've got mixed feelings on what we saw in terms of this new package. The restarts were pretty entertaining. Granted, we only had two of them for the stage breaks, which I'm sure some of the old school faithful are losing their minds that we could have potentially had a caution-free race if not for the stages. That said, I will also give credit to NASCAR for not throwing a phantom debris caution with 15 to go just to line them up, as we've kind of
assumed they've done in the past. You know, we've never actually gotten proof or not proof, you know, when that cigarette butts out on the track and they throw the yellow and we don't see anything on the track. But nonetheless, props for that not happening. The restarts kept them bunched up longer than normal, I would say, maybe an extra 5 to 7 laps or so before everyone fell in line. Leader had, you know, 5-7 second lead multiple times, which is pretty typical. Maybe it's not the 10 to 12 second lead, but I mean, is there really a difference in 5 to 12 seconds when we're talking a lead in terms of what I think NASCAR wants to achieve with this package? You know, at that point, I don't think there's much of a difference from that regard. So that said, I'm not judging it after two races, really kind of one. We didn't tear up any race cars, and it wasn't worse than what we would have expected at Las Vegas. So those are my comments. I don't want to give an opinion yet. It's way too early. And I know that's too rational for a lot of the social media people out there, but I'm not going to form an opinion this early in on that. That said, Joey Logano, here's some irony though. This is crazy. Joey Logano, driver of the 22, picked up his 22nd win in his Pennzoil Ford in the Pennzoil 400. That is a lot of irony there. Like they had mentioned the Pennzoil Ford, the Pennzoil 400. It wasn't until I was looking up some stats for the show that I realized that it was also his 22nd win in the 22nd car. I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool there. The rookies, great races, truck and Xfinity series, and not so much in the cup race. Not that you would expect rookies to go out there and compete for top tens with the level of competition that we have. Hemric was our highest finishing rookie in 23rd, Priest 25th, Tift 34th, and Ware 35th. Figured I'd throw those in there since I highlighted the rookies in the other two series. Why not? Let's see. Kurt Busch goes out, does what he does, quietly picks up another top five. Looks like he made a flawless adjustment moving over to Chip Ganassi Racing, and a 1-2 finish for Team Penske. Harvick went back-to-back top fours, and how about Ricky Stenhouse? Top sixth place finish. What do you know? Over to the standings. Joey Logano sits up top with a 2-point lead over Kevin Harvick. Denny Hamlin in third, Kyle Busch fourth, Keselowski fifth, Larson sixth, Stenhouse seventh, Martin Truex Jr. in eighth, Eric Jones ninth, and Kurt Busch wraps out the top 10. Sunday, 3:30 from the desert, ISM. There you go. I got it in the first try. ISM for the cup race on Sunday. Looking very forward to that. All right. It is time for a little social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And give a like and follow over on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, download, leave some comments, Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes, Blueberry, Acast, all that good stuff. You can find the show. Don't forget about the giveaway, creeping up to 3,500 followers, right around the 200 mark to go still, and I will give away the 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress at 3,500 Twitter followers. I'll throw in a Lap Traffic t-shirt as well, and cannot wait to give that bad boy away. Speaking of followers, over to some new follower shout-outs. Kathleen Shannon at JoJo's Sister, big Brad Keselowski fan from Florida. Jorgen Jensenson at Jorgen Jensenson on Twitter. Got to meet him down in Atlanta. Awesome that he gave a follow on the show. Appreciate that. Make sure you're checking out what they do and the PETM Patreon, which you can help support Jorgen in his racing venture. Randy Hammock at Hammock Randy, who is the motor coach driver for Austin Hill, which is really cool. Thanks for the follow, Randy. Josh Roller at Roller underscore 01, a NASCAR fan and a member and student with the Sports Capital Journalism Program. That's awesome. Good luck to you there, sir. Thanks for the follows, everyone. Make sure you tell your friends. If you want a koozie, again, hit the website, laptrafficpodcast.com. Go to the contact page, fill it out, and I will send you one. And let's see. Business is done. Let's get Mr. Aaron Studwell here for a little weather. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back for his weekly weather report. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at RaceWeather.net. The wonderful Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Oh, good evening, sir. I'm doing well, and yourself?
Excellent. Thank you very, very much. Dude, we got some stuff to talk about here. First, of course, is a little Michigan basketball. Michigan picked up a solid bounce-back win on the road over 17th-ranked Maryland this past weekend, which was nice to see. Good, close game, but Michigan prevailed.
They did, and I was got a chance to watch some of it, and it was really interesting to kind of break it down a little bit and see that when they had the inside game going, they really dominated the game. But you could say the same thing about Maryland, because they very easily penetrated the inside. A lot of the stats were even. Rebounds were pretty even, both offensive, defense. Three-point shots were dead on, even on a percentage basis. Michigan won it at the line.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. It's like, but here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. They find ways to win games. If they need to win it on the line, they'll win it on the line. If they need to win with a three, it's going to be something like that, or if they need to bring it inside. So I think Beeline's kind of gone back and said, okay, we need to be better here. And is really getting the kids to improve.
Yeah.
Kids. Oh, my God.
I know. Well, hey, they're kids to us.
They are kids to us.
All right. So one more game, regular season on the road this Saturday. Primetime game in the Breslin Center in East Lansing, taking on Sparty. You know, Michigan lost their home game to Spartans just about a week ago. The Spartans are coming off a very tough loss on the road at Indy. So both have a little bit to prove here in the last game, and it is tough going into East Lansing.
It is, and I imagine, I've not seen the line, I'm not sure the line's been posted yet. I imagine that State's can be 2 to 3 point favorites, not much more than that. I'd take a little bit of that action. I think Michigan's going to keep it close. And Michigan has a pretty decent chance to win on the road. I think after letting Sparty come in to Chrysler, that they're going to have to, they know they're going to have to play hard if they want that number one seed. And then it's also going to be a little bit dependent on what Purdue does. Two road games, which they should be favored in, at Minnesota, at Northwestern. But to have a shot at the number one seed in conference, they really need to go in and win. And I think just for pride, and you want to end the season on a good note. I think, but both teams are going to want to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just tried to pull it up. Because Michigan State has a game ahead of it, they don't have that game line up yet.
Okay.
So, you know, it's crazy to think, you know, how closely together we could potentially end up playing MSU three times in one season if it comes down to the Big Ten tournament there.
Yeah, and third time's the charm. I'll go with that one.
Absolutely. And then let's see here. Snow-free Las Vegas, man. Thank you for bringing us snow-free.
Who knew? I mean, it's like, I imagine if I would have gone into that week of forecasts and say, and everybody's like, well, maybe we should go out west a week earlier. Well, wait a minute. Hold on, folks. Winter's not just in the southeast.
Right?
It was out west.
What was it? A year ago, 2 years ago, there was snow in the infield and on the concourse area at Martinsville.
That was last year.
Well, that was last year.
Yeah, it was last year because we were kind of calling for snow. I think Brian and I were topping out around 4 inches, and they got 6. They could have, if you really want to go by the definition of things, the track was clear.
Yes.
But the people couldn't have gotten there safely. So
right.
NASCAR made the right decision, and then also parking in that area. And I've personally never been to Martinsville, but I saw some pictures where some of the MRN crew went out, the radio crew went out into the RV area on Sunday and delivered pizzas.
Right.
And I remember seeing those pictures. It's pretty hilly. It was very snowy. And getting in, getting out, it wasn't going to happen.
Right.
So, you know, it was the right call. But, yeah, that was pretty. But, yeah, we'd called for snow, but I don't think we called for 6.
Right. Well, you know, and it's funny you say that about, like, getting in, getting out. You know, as a Michigan Michigander, growing up with snow whole life, driving in snow since I was 16, you know, for me and someone around here, like, oh, that that shouldn't have been that bad. People should have been able to get. But when you don't have the road maintenance facilities to plow and stuff like that, I mean, like, our city's 2 miles and we have our own plow truck. Like, you know, there are some counties that in the South don't even have a plow truck. Like, when you're not prepared from that regard that you don't handle this on a regular basis, it definitely could make things interesting.
But I'll also go to a place like, and I'll say Darlington again, since I've never been to Martinsville, but you go out to even MIS, and it's not necessarily all paved.
No, no, it's not paved.
You can't plow grass.
That's true.
You're not going to be able to move their trailers in or their RVs in or out. People are going to have to try and park on hills, and it's snowing, and you're going to have people walking through snow to get to the track. And it's just, you know what? Let's wait a day. It's going to warm up. It'll melt. It'll be better.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are on the second weekend of the West Coast Swing. Only two series, Xfinity and Cup. How is the weather looking at ISM?
Well, I can safely say no snow.
Excellent. And PETM's not going, so there shouldn't be any rain by statistical measurements.
Yeah, but when the ISM guys are asking me, what radar application do you use? They're getting ready for it now. Oops. They're kind of getting ready for it. Well, Friday's practices and cup qualifying, I want to throw this out here real quick so we can get a gauge of it. The normal high for Friday is 76. Friday, mostly cloudy skies. I'm going to keep a slight chance of showers in the forecast, about a 20% chance. That has been trending down. So I'm going to say, don't be surprised if there are showers, maybe interrupting a practice, but I don't think you're going to lose the track. I don't think you're going to cancel qualifying. It will be very windy, 20 to 25 mile an hour winds sustained. High of 66, low of 56. For Phoenix, and you're going to the desert, you're only going to be 76, but you're going to be 66 and 20 mile an hour winds. It's going to feel brisk.
Yeah, yeah.
Not compared to what y'all are going through, or a lot of the Midwest, but if I'm going to the desert, I'm thinking, oh, look, short sleeves, and you can wear your short sleeves on Saturday.
Right.
Mostly sunny skies, 68 for the high, light winds. And then for Sunday, the Ticket Guardian 500, again, mostly sunny skies, high of 74, morning low of 46. So if you're getting to the track a little early, maybe bring a jacket, but you won't need to bring it into the track. High of 74 is going to be a great day for racing in the desert.
Excellent. I like that. I'm excited about that. Let's see. Anything else, sir? I think does it on my end.
We are good. Excellent. Until next week.
We are good till next week. Everyone, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web at raceweather.net. Sir, pleasure as always. Talk to you next week. Go Blue.
Go Blue. Great show. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. See ya. Always great catching up with Aaron, and definitely hope to be playing some Victors next week to bring him on to the show. That said, you guys know what that sound means. There's some dogs barking. It is time for the Lucky Dog and Lapdown picks from this past weekend in Las Vegas, good old Sin City. Don't forget to tweet, send your picks for your Lucky Dog and Lapdown picks of the race weekend after the checkered flag. You guys know the drill. You can tweet your picks. You can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538, and I will play and read your picks live, get you some interaction on social media as well. And don't forget, this year I am keeping a tally of all the picks that are coming in. I got a big spreadsheet going, and do some updates throughout the season with all that, and maybe a big show at the end, or make a little bit longer of a segment with that at the end of the year, which I think will be kind of fun. All right, I'm going to get right into my Lucky Dog pick of the weekend is Team Penske. How could it not? Back-to-back wins for Team Penske. That's awesome. My lap down, kind of a gentle run. Pit road mistakes across all three series, three races in only. These guys are professionals, though. It ain't their first rodeo for the most part. Just a lot of pit road mistakes. So that's getting my lap down, the pit road mistakes. Let's get over to your tweeted responses. PETM at PETM Podcast. And side note, don't forget, those guys got a show going tonight. So make sure you check that out at some point in time if you're not going to listen live to those guys, which if you haven't checked their live show out on YouTube, you're missing out. Definitely make sure you check that out. All right, there, Lucky Dog. Roger Penske, 2 of 3 cars in the playoffs in just 3 races. A lap down, Kyle Busch speeding penalty cost him the race, and more importantly, tailgate Mayer's pick. Brett at B-Wayne, 85-89's Lucky Dog Joey for holding off Brad and getting the win. That definitely was close there at the end. I mentioned earlier that leaders definitely got out to, you know, decent gap there throughout the race, but the mere fact that we had a close finish like that was pretty cool. Lap down for Brett is Larson for his troubles on pit row 2 weeks in a row. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog Penske Camp, 2 for 3 this year. Lap down, teams that can't get the nobody part touching the pit box and complaining. Yeah, again, kind of like my lap down. And our first rodeo here, boys. We should have this dialed in by now. Tim at T-Trip14's Lucky Dog Team Penske, Joey Logano getting the win, and Kozlowski coming in second. Lap down, the frickin' commercials. I'm with you. Mick at GoDucks42_Mix. Lucky Dog Joey Logano getting it done. A lap down, RCR. They have found qualifying speed, but it's not translating to race speed. That is a great call there, Mick. Definitely noticed that. Definitely a couple other guys, I think, here noticed that as well. Is RCR single run speeds, but not race speed. Let's see if they can maybe up their ante over the next few weeks here. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR Fans. Lucky Dog, Kurt Busch. Really cool how he footed the bill to put Star Nursery on his car. That is awesome. Lap down, Xfinity, regulars Bell and Riddick were better than Busch, but both made late race mistakes. Good call there. The Loose Lugs Podcast, who also has an awesome podcast, at Lugs Podcast. Make sure you check those guys out as well. Lucky Dog Joey Logano had been there one more lap. Had there been one more lap, Brad most likely catches him. If there was a caution, Kyle Busch would have passed both of them. Probably true. Lap down, fans complaining about the Newell's rule package after we saw some of the closest racing in Las Vegas in a while. Jared at JTM0086 Lucky Dog Kurt Busch lap down Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of talk about old seven time there, was there? John at Dean Aders Lucky Dog watching the debate on Twitter if Las Vegas was a good race. Hashtag good points on both ends. Lap down Xfinity drivers for not finding a way around Kyle Busch. Top five all had a chance to get it done. Good point there. You know, if you got a chance to make a name for yourself to beat Kyle Busch in the truck or the Xfinity series, it's great to say, hey, maybe I finished top five with him on the track. But man, to go out there and know you beat the best in the biz, that's an even cooler feeling. Let's see. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's Lucky Dog Ryan Sieg. Nice to see the 39 team be more competitive and finishing sixth. Lap down, RCR. Where is that Sunday race speed at? I feel you. Faster out practice sessions only to finish 20th and 23rd. Absolutely. And Mr. Andrew Kantzian, who is out on location, was unable to call the wave around hotline this week. You can follow him at Kantzian, his Lucky Dog Team Penske. 2 for 2 on the non-plate tracks this year. And the listeners of Lap Traffic for getting a break from my BS calls for the week. Ha ha. Lap down, this package. Funny that TJ and Freddie on Door Bumper Clear said the ideal package is the opposite of the direction we are going. All right. No wave around hotline calls this week. No, it's all right. No big deal there. A lot of them were either traveling back from Las Vegas, some of the usuals that call in. So that's all right there. But the wave around hotline is there for you guys if you want. That is going to do it for the Lucky Dogs. And it is time to get over to the fantasy segment. All right. Just a reminder to get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. You guys with this Twitter interaction is literally making my heart melt. I freaking love it. You guys tagging and tweeting your picks, and it's just the coolest thing to see, and I love it. So keep that up. 11 races to go. There is still a chance in segment one. If you're not doing too well, don't throw the towel in to wait for segment two. Keep it coming. And for the most part, everyone is, which is great. But don't think you're out of it yet. There's still a chance to crack the top 10, and at worst case, hear your name on the show. Let's see. Winning picks. No one was able to pick the winner of the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series, but we did have a few players pick Joey Logano in the Cup race, Andrew Kantsian, John Entwistle, Mike Tucker, Robert Kiplinger. Nice job there, guys. Week high was 149 points by Mr. Andrew Kantsian. It's a bummer he couldn't have called into the hotline because I know he would have bragged about that. He had Joey Logano, Cole Custer, and Stuart Friesen. Second place week high was 143 by John Entwistle and Robert Kiplinger with their picks of Logano, Bell, and Moffitt. My picks, Edfinger, Allgaier, Martin Truex Jr. got me a whopping 82 points there. So I am definitely moving in the wrong direction in the standings. But that said, over to the top 10, 3 weeks in, three different leaders. Unfortunately, Robert Kiplinger, who is our new leader with 405 points, unable to make a good time work to have him on to call in for his picks. No big deal there. Didn't expect to be able to get everybody on who's leading each and every week. It was cool. Had a nice stretch there. And hey, who knows? Maybe if he's in the lead next week, we can make it work. If not, we'll reach out to the new leader and see if can't put something together there. That said, Robert Kiplinger is our new leader with 405. John Entwistle in second with 389. Evan Van Beelen in third with 377. Brad Carnes in fourth with 374. Two-way tie in fifth with 366 with David Mullins and Pete Kirvin. In sixth is Greg Whited with 362. Chad Robb in seventh with 360. Jeff Legg in eighth with 356. Michael Elliott in ninth with 355. And wrapping out the top 10 with 353 is Rob Nebinger. So those are the standings. Let's get over to the picks. We head out west for our second race in the West Coast Swing and are headed to ISM, otherwise known as Kevin Harvick's Playground. Why is it his playground? 9 wins at ISM. That's why. His first win coming back in 2006 when he swept both races in 2006. He also went on a 4-race win streak starting back in the fall of 2013 and almost had a 6-win race streak but finished second to Junior in the fall of 2015. Kyle Busch won the fall race and finished second to Harvick in the spring last year. And hey, can anyone stop the dominance of Team Penske? What about Chevy? Can they get their first win of 2019? Who knows? We're headed out to the desert this Sunday, but first, it's time for my picks. There's no truck pick this week. Over to the Xfinity Series. Hey, I'm climbing aboard the Christopher Bell train. Sign me up. I need to get some serious points. I'm banking on Christopher Bell in the Xfinity Series. And hey, I'm playing Homer. I almost did it again. Phoenix, it's ISM. Darn it. ISM. Kevin Harvick for the win. Picks up his first win for Stuart Haas of 2019. All right. Those are my picks. I cannot wait to see who you guys take. Keep it up on social media. And man, can't wait. This is becoming one of my favorite parts of the show, seeing where everyone's at with the Lap Traffic Fantasy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 115 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Subscribe, download, iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Don't forget about the contest giveaway at 3,500 followers. Big thanks to Angela Rook, Aaron Studwell for coming on the show today. I think next week's guest is also a lock, which is awesome. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. And make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!